Lord, let's unite our hearts. Lord, we have assembled together and we give thee thanks for this opportunity. We give thee thanks for the word and the power of thy word as it can transform and create in us a new man. And Lord, as we open thy word, we pray that thy spirit would be amongst us and in us, O Lord, that we would feel thy presence. Lord, that our thoughts would be centered upon thee, that our hearts would be open for this precious seed to fall into our hearts, to bring forth the fruit that thou, Lord, dost search for from each of us. We pray, O Lord, a blessing upon our gathering. Be thou with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, with God's help, I've chosen to read from the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians and chapter number 1. First epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter number 1. Prva poslanica Solumljanima, prva glava. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. May God bless his word upon our hearts, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer.
Our great God and our Father in heaven, we come upon our bended knees together as a congregation yet again in this day. And we give thee thanks for this privilege that we have to come in before thee in spirit and in truth to petition thee and to bring our supplication before thee. And so, Father, we give thee thanks for this opportunity. And we pray thee that thou wouldst be gracious and hear our prayer as we would bring it to thee. Father, we would acknowledge that there is no God like unto thee. Thou art from everlasting to everlasting, and Lord, we worship thee as such. Father, we acknowledge thee as the one true God who created all things seen and unseen. Blessed be thy name. And Lord, it is in this day, Lord, that we have set aside that we would come together as a body of believers to look into thy word, to worship thee together, to be put in awe again of thy word, and to be reminded just how marvelous thou art, and to have our souls realigned with thee, and Lord, to ponder upon that which is eternal. And so, Father, we give thee thanks for times like these. Father, we give thee thanks, Lord, for all the things that thou hast done in our lives. Lord, we are truly richly blessed. and we have thee to thank for that. We thank thee for the measure of health that thou hast given unto us, for food and clothing and shelter, and even in all things in abundance. Father, we have been richly blessed by thee. And Father, more so than that, Lord, these physical blessings, Lord, thou hast blessed us with spiritual gifts, and we give thee thanks for that. We give thee thanks, Lord, that thou hast given unto us the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of thy word, Lord, that we could be released from the clutches of darkness and come into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ and to know what thy will is and understand what thy desire is for all mankind. And Lord, we just pray for grace day by day to have to lead an overcoming life, Lord, to be well pleasing in thy sight, to be about thy business, to do that which would enhance and build up thy kingdom here upon this earth. Lord, help us, Lord, to love thee with all of our heart, Lord, that anything and all things that we would do, that it might be evident that we serve a master who loves us, who is great, and who blesses and rewards us abundantly, far above that which we deserve. And so we give thee the thanks for that. And Lord, in addition to these spiritual blessings we have, thou hast given unto us of thy Holy Ghost. And as we have sung, Lord, we feel his gentle power. We give thee thanks for that. And even as the Apostle Paul has addressed the Thessalonians, Father, that they, Lord, by the Holy Ghost, have done that which they were able to do, Lord. And so we just give thee thanks for this fellowship that we have, the fellowship in the Spirit, oh God. And so we just would magnify thy name and recognize that all that thou dost do is great and that thou dost work in us marvelously if we would but note it and recognize it and give thee thanks for it. And so we just pray, Lord, that we would continue in thee. Lord, help us, Lord, that we would look past ourselves, Lord, past that which is temporal here upon this earth, and look to that which is eternal, Lord, that we might be blessed by thee, and that we would feel thy presence in having this fellowship with thee continuously. Bless one and all that have gathered here this afternoon. Lord, we look to thee for a blessing. Be thou with our brothers as he would expound upon this word. May thy spirit be felt in our presence, for we ask these things in the blessed name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen. Dear brothers and dear sisters and dear friends, the short chapter that we have before us is a chapter that Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and I thought of this chapter as we spoke. I had read this morning and had listened to a message on faith and the faith of Abraham, the father of faith, as he is called, and faith, what it is and what it does. We heard of faith and charity and hope, and it was all expressed in this chapter here. He's speaking to a church who had gone through much persecution in accepting the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, a church that was under persecution but still steadfast, staying faithful. But not only remaining faithful, but being faithful, they also have lived an example to others so that they might also believe in the one true God, the living God. This same church who was wholly taken up into idol worship prior to learning who the living and true God is. And as Paul is writing this epistle, as the church is receiving it, the church doesn't, it's just a letter to them, but they don't realize that what they are receiving is the Word of God. The Bible is being read to them as it was written. We have it preserved to us today as the Holy Bible, but as it was coming to them, it was a letter from Paul inspired by the Holy Spirit, And it was the inspired word of God coming to them almost live, we can say, through a letter that Paul had written. And then there, and in this letter, he's writing a letter of encouragement, of thanksgiving. And, you know, he looks at the church that he had gone and formed, and he writes them a letter. And we know the Apostle Paul, and he describes who he is even in this, in these few verses here. We can look into his heart and into his life actually pretty completely in just the few words that he had spoken. And we see him when he was in Ephesus and he was saying goodbye to them, that he had such a strong desire to go to Jerusalem. Just like we know he had a strong desire to go to Rome. But he wanted to go to Jerusalem. He wanted to go there so bad. And he was warned by the Spirit of God of what would wait for him there. Then that didn't matter to him. I mean, think of this. He was told that you're going to be bound, you're going to be persecuted if you go there. It didn't move him. Brothers and sisters, think of where his thoughts come from. He has a whole different thought process than we do, than I do. In the face of warnings from the Spirit of God, told him what to expect in Jerusalem, it didn't faze him. He was bound and determined to go there. Though he knew he would be bound, though he and his ministry had changed entirely by going to Jerusalem. Much of his life was in prison after that. But that's where his heart was to go. Was it to take the large gift of that he had assembled together from the Gentile churches to bring to the church, which he knew that he had created so many widows in and orphans and so on, to give them the pure word of God, but with that also some kind of a relief for what they had suffered at his own hands, perhaps. But he had a desire to go, and it didn't matter to him that his life would be interrupted. What would we do? I'd run. I'd run in the other direction. And he kissed them goodbye and he says, I will not see you again. But he tells them, he says, I am guiltless of the blood of all men. And the reason I am guiltless, he says, because I never gave anything less than the gospel unto all mankind. Everywhere he went, he gave them nothing less than the gospel. He's guiltless. If we give anything less than the gospel, and we will see in this letter what that means. Is that only for the preacher? If you give anything less than the gospel in your acknowledgement of others, in their works, what they're doing, like giving thumbs up on Facebook and so on, to a sin that is being performed, we are in agreement, we're liking it with little heart insignias and so on, that's less than the gospel. That's less than the gospel. According to Paul, we are guilty. We are guilty of giving something less than what Jesus Christ had delivered to us and saved us, as we read, from the wrath which is to come. Through the acknowledgement of who he is, through the reception of him, accepting him, being baptized into his death. And as we see Paul here writing, he says, he's remembering without ceasing. He's remembering without ceasing. We know when Paul says, I am remembering without ceasing, that he's really remembering this church. What was his prayer? What was his prayer list like? Think of it. Think of all the epistles that we read of his. And he never fails to mention, I pray for you day and night. I pray for you all the time. How much time was Paul spending on his knees? And he says, I remember without ceasing your work of faith. Work? Work of faith? We just heard today that James says, I will show you my faith by my works. Paul says, he goes, without ceasing, I'm remembering your work of faith and labor of love. So we have faith, we have love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's our hope. Faith, love, and hope. In the sight of God, your Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And he says, here, our gospel came unto you all, unto you, came not unto you in word only. Let's think about that a second. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Our responsibility is far, far greater, dear ones, than to just say, I believe in Jesus. I'm a Christian. You should believe too. Jesus died for you, you know that? Jesus loves you. Be baptized. God tells his people, I am tired of your lip service. I'm tired of your words. Paul says here, the gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power. In power. What is this power? Of a life that is transformed by the Holy Ghost. The new man that was created in him is the power of God. I lived that which I read unto you. I lived it. And in much assurance, as ye know, what? As you know what manner of men we were among you. There is nothing that Paul was ashamed of, that Paul had to look back on and say, ooh, I failed here a little bit. He says, you know, I came to you with the word, with the power, and what manner of life I lived among you, you know very well. Dear ones, this is the gospel. This is the gospel message that we are to preach. Our life needs to follow our faith. For after all, what is repentance? Repentance cannot take place without faith. But faith is, as he describes here at the end, the work of faith is the repentance. Because faith is a turning to something else. From something to something. That's what faith is. You cannot have faith towards something, in someone, and not turn to that person. That's not faith. Faith is turning from, as he says here, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You turned. In other words, your faith was turning from idols to God. That's what faith is. So when I say I have faith, when you say you have faith, does my life show my faith? That's the work of faith. I turned to God. That's my work. And then God created in me a new man that serves him in righteousness, in holiness, and as Paul also says, to Titus, he says, in all things, he says, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In all things, show yourself as a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil to say of you. That's the work of faith. That's what James is speaking of. No, he is not contradicting Paul. In no way when Paul says that we are saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. James is in no way contradicting him, as some would like to say, and hang their hats on, all I got to do is believe, but I can do it. Believing is turning to God. repentance towards, as actually it is in that same, when he's saying goodbye to the to the elders in his address to the elders, he says, how I have kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. This is what Paul's mission was. I taught you publicly. I taught in the synagogues. I went house to house. I held nothing back. And I am guiltless of the blood of the man who refuses to repent and come to Christ. I'm not guilty. I showed him who Christ is. He just doesn't have an interest. He doesn't care. He welcomes the wrath that is to come unto him. He says it's worth it. So I'm not guilty. It won't be worth it to him later, but he thinks it's worth it now. I'm not guilty. He said he served the Lord in all humility of mind. Many tears, temptations befell him by the lying in wait of the Jews. And he said, I testify both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. To everyone. It didn't matter what color, what creed. It didn't matter who you were. He testified to the Jew and to the Greek. What repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to God by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he taught. And he says, and now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Did we just hear that? Did we just hear what Paul said here? None of these things move me. Everywhere I go, bonds and afflictions are awaiting me. But this doesn't move me. My life is not dear unto me. I want to, so that I might finish my course with joy. 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 He's traveling battered and bruised and bloodied. He went from Philippi bloodied to set up the church in Thessalonica. He says, and I might finish my course with joy. You see, joy is something that, as we often hear, is not something because of what happens. Something could happen and you get happy. When that goes away, you're no longer happy. The joy that is speaking of here is joy in the Holy Ghost. As we read, even in verse 6, he says, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Joy, your joy is in God. That can never be removed. That can't be removed when you have turned from idol worship unto the living God. Your life is hid in him. There's joy. It can never be removed. The circumstances in life don't move you. It doesn't matter, he says here. They don't move me because my life's not dear unto me. But I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That's what he had received. Brothers and sisters, you have not received anything less. I have not received anything less but to witness everywhere we go of the grace, of the gospel, of the grace of God. Let's not think that, oh, that's going to fall upon someone else. No, it falls upon each one of us who testify that Jesus is Lord. And he says here, as he came to them in the power of a life that was lived, he said, you became followers of us. Here Paul is again. I know we just mentioned it not long ago of Paul saying, be ye followers of me. Here he says, and you became followers of us. Why? Because I'm following the Lord. And he says, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. So this church had gone through a lot of tribulation in receiving the word, but they had joy in the Holy Ghost. Brothers and sisters, let's not be downcast. Let's not be overwhelmed with sadness and be defeated. Let's not live defeated lives because of the circumstances of our lives. They're not worse than Paul's. Paul was told, you will suffer this. I'm going. You're going to go to prison. You're going to be afflicted. You're going to be in bonds. You're going to be beaten. I'm going. And he says, and because you have followed us and the Lord, because you received with joy the word that I held nothing back, he didn't seek to create a church. Well, you know what? These people are so different. Overrun with idol worship. Idols everywhere. Gods for every kind of thing that could exist. A god of this, a god of this, a god of that. They don't know the living God, so we're going to have to give them a little bit of easy believism, a little bit of easier method to believe. We're not going to talk about complete surrender because, after all, there's no way they can handle it, right? That's man. That's man today. Imagine the indictment of the church today and the messages that go forth today compared to what Paul is speaking of. I held nothing back. I am guiltless of the blood of men. He says, and because of that, now you've become examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord. And he's saying, now, because you have turned to the Lord, away from idol worship, your faith in God turned to him because of that. Now, he says, you sounded out the word. And in every place, your faith to God's word is spread abroad. So that we don't need to speak anymore. In other words, you have gone out and reached out into the areas that I was going to go. You have done that. And in doing that, and he says, those who have now received your word, they show to us what manner of entering in we had unto you. They're the example of how you have received us. You've received us. They've received you. That's the power of the word. That's the power of delivering the gospel in word and in power. That's why he tells Titus how to live, how to live and be that example and live in the power. I love that verse. Show thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness. What is corrupt? Anything that comes from me is corruptness. It has to come from the Word. It has to be God-breathed. It has to be. I cannot give you anything less than that. It is corrupt if it is. And that's what the church is filled with today. That's why there are thousands of different beliefs, and all claiming to be Christians. Am I condemning someone? No. God's word is. His word is condemning. He says, show thyself a pattern. That means preach it and live it. A pattern in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, a sound speech that cannot be condemned. So that one who is living differently can only be ashamed. He can't turn and say, I see it in you. I see it in you. What are you telling me something different now? And dear ones, this obligation is upon every one of us here today. You are not free of that because you're not actively going door to door or standing at a pulpit or considered a preacher. No one is free of this. Obligation. Live. To walk in the footsteps of Jesus, learn of me, is all about our life. It's all about our faith. It's all about our works, because the works is the turning to, as he says here, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait. What do you wait for? That's hope. You have a hope. You're waiting. Waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Dear ones, this is the church in Thessalonica. If this isn't my life, if this isn't your life, what hope do we have? Our hope is in corrupted doctrine. If my life is not an example, I have a hope in a corrupted doctrine that will not save me from the wrath to come. The pure word of God must be lived, must be spoken, so that no one can say anything evil of you. No one can point to your life and say, this looks shady here. This is shady. What's this? But more than that, dear ones, we'll be found guilty before God. Why? Because we changed the word. See, when I act in a way that is unbecoming of a Christian, I've changed his word. Because what I'm saying is, I am a Christian, but I can't act like this because the word allows me. That's what I'm saying. Otherwise, if I'm not allowed, I wouldn't be doing it. Because the transformation that takes place removes that from me in my life. If it doesn't, then I'm corrupted the doctrine, and I'm handing it over to someone else. And I will be guilty of his blood and the wrath that is to come upon him because he learned it from me. Our responsibility goes far beyond what we think it does. You cannot say, I love the Lord, I don't know if I can live quite like that. It's because you're not ready to let go of yourself. That's all it means. You're not ready to let go of yourself. So in other words, you're your idol, you worship yourself, you haven't turned to God, you're in sin, and the wrath that is to come upon you. Paul is looking at this church that he left Philippi battered and bruised to go to this church, which wasn't that far away. I think I looked it up, like 100 miles maybe even less. But he went to this city, set up this church here, and he hears word that this is a faithful church. This is what gave joy to the blessed apostle. Not that, oh, they're doing so well. They all have these mansions. They all have this. They got farms and lands. They got, whoa, really? That? He says, I hear of your faith to Godward. I hear of your faith. And you have brought others to God because you have taken the word that I've delivered unto you. May that be our one endeavor. Dear brothers and dear sisters, dear friends, that our faith would be one that turns from idol worship and unto the living God, turning to him, the work of faith, the patience of hope. May God bless his word upon each of our hearts in this day. Amen.
Someone turns from serving themselves to serving the true and living God. That happened in the life of the Apostle Paul. That happened in the lives of the Thessalonians. And that happened in our lives as well. That as we went from serving ourselves to serving the Lord, great things have happened. And great joy came into our lives, a joy that no man can take away. And as we've just sung, that nothing shall from God's love separate us. Great things happen when we turn from serving ourselves to serving the Lord. For the Thessalonians, when they did that, they had a work of faith. A work of faith. Perhaps they heard those stories of Abraham and how he was about to offer up Isaac. And they were encouraged by that story. And so they also had a work of faith as well. And it was known abroad. They had a labor of love. And they had a patience of hope. And great things happened to them as they transitioned and as they went to serving the Lord. And then he says that you became followers of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy in the Holy Ghost. So even though the Thessalonians had much affliction as they were receiving this word that the Apostle Paul and Silas and Timothy had brought to them, they had great joy. They had great joy. It was a very difficult time. We can read it in the Acts of the Apostles of what happened to them while they were in Thessalonica. It was very difficult things. And yet, even through that affliction, they had joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy. It comes through the Holy Ghost. These are the great things that happen to an individual that goes from serving themselves to serving the Lord. And then Jesus says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Jesus Christ came and brought forth the word of God to all mankind, and we've all received it. And as we've received it, the fullness of joy has come in our lives, and that joy remained. Afflictions, no afflictions, whatever the case in life might be, that joy comes in our lives. And so let's remember that. Let's remember that. The joy that comes in the Holy Spirit, the joy that Jesus Christ brought in a full measure that it might remain in us. Let's serve the Lord. Amen.